Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So we got started on this last week. And so the background on this, of course, has to do with when the children of Israel go into the promised land, they are to go to Shechem and the two mountains there, Gerizim on the north, and Ebal as well. And shout out the amen to the blessings and the curses, So, and then the priest would actually shout them out. The people would say amen to both of these. All right, so the in our passage today, so we've got a lengthy section here. Last time we looked there, 1 through 14, these were the blessings. A short section here, relatively speaking. Then we've got 68 verses with the rest of the chapter, so 15 through 68. So we won't get through all that, but tonight anyway. But there we do have a lot of material here. And so in this, we do have a chiastic type form in this section, just like we had earlier. And so we have the verses, for instance, verse 15, thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then we notice here in chapter, or in verse 45, because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So here we have parallel sections here. And we might call these bookends for that matter. And so we're going to try and deal with this material tonight. So in our chiastic type structure, it looks like this. So we've got A, at A prime. We've got B, and we've got B prime. All right, so not hearken. In verse 15, and then the same phraseology, not hearken to the voice of the Lord, not hearken. In verse 45, 45, yeah, 45, all right, 15 to 45. Then we've got two categories of curses. So first of all, we got about six curses here, and then we've got another 25 curses in the second section here. So these seem to be somewhat separated on the curses. So we have not hearkened, curses, not hearkened. So we go in and we come out. Now, the curses are much more detailed than the blessings. So the blessings are somewhat general, although the curses, the six curses here are really undoing the blessings that we saw earlier there. But I think the detail that's given in the cursing would allow the Jews to realize specifically, in detail, we're under the curse of God. This is not just accidental. Is this really the Lord working or not? We can't figure this out. And no, it's very specific here. And so they would know. Now, these are, we're coming down here to the tail end of Deuteronomy. These are going to be the last words of Moses. And so the Lord is working through Moses to try to help him, to help the people get involved here. So let's look at this. So we're in 28. 15 and following. So here we have our first point. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. All right, so there's our A. Then verse 45, our A prime. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded thee. So notice in 45 says they shall come. Notice the verbs there, shall come, pursue, overtake, and destroy. So in other words, these curses are not going to miss. They're going to catch up. They're going to catch up with the sinner. They're going to come after him, going to pursue, going to track them down, overtake them, and destroy them. So doesn't matter how fast you run, curses will run faster. All right, so now, once again, let's go back to verse 15. As I mentioned earlier for to you last week and so on, the for instance, verse 28, verse 2, chapter 28, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And so then we looked at Psalm 23. And here in 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the word behind follow there is a very strong word, meaning pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. So basically the Lord is saying something is going to pursue you. And so it's dependent. Dependent on if you're going to obey or disobey. If you obey, you have blessings pursuing after you. And you can't outrun the blessings. If you disobey, curses will chase after you and catch you, and you won't be able to outrun the curses. So that's what we have him indicating here. So very strong words here. We say it's very clear what the Lord wants of his people as they go into the land and so on. So we have two bookends here. Verse 15, here it says, if thou will not hearken unto the voice. So there's conditional, if thou will not hearken. 45 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not. So this makes it more of an established fact, whereas it was conditional in the first one. So it's conditional. Verse 15, you don't obey. And then in 45 is as if this is a done fact, done deal, you might say. All right, so let's look now at the curses, six curses. First of all, we have these in verse 16 through 19. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. All right, so this reminds us back there in verse 3. So in verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So here, this is going to counter that blessing. So the blessing of being in the city or in the country, in the field, the blessing is going to be changed to a cursing. Now the city and the field is probably referring to a general statement for the whole nation. The whole nation has either had cities or fields. People either in cities or fields will be the whole nation, be cursed. Here it's going to be undone. Verse 16 is going to undo that with a curse. Then in verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. So here, they're accumulating the grain and vegetation, the crops and so on, and then being able to store them up. That was what we saw earlier. Going to be a curse on that. That's in verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now it's going to be cursed. They won't be able to gain produce, and they won't be able to store it up. Remember, this is an agricultural society, so it's very important to them. Then verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks and the sheep. So here, verse 18, I've divided into three groups here. There's the persons, there's the crops, and there's the animals. So first of all, the persons. Cursed be the fruit of thy body. All right, so in contrast with verse 4, blessed be shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the cattle, and increased kine, and the flocks, and the sheep. So in other words, being fruitful with offspring and so on was the Lord's plan for them. Remember, he said this three times early in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, he told Noah and his family, be fruitful, multiply. And then with Abraham, he told Abraham he's going to have a multitude of a nation and offspring and so on. So here we see the Lord's plan for the Jews to have a great increase here. But now, as they disobey, they wouldn't have the increase. Part of having being an agricultural society is that the larger the family, the more helping hands to run the cattle, to take care of the cattle, the grain, the fields, so on and so forth. So agricultural society, they like large families so they can do this. And so there's the cursedness on, or the curse on fruit of the body. Then likewise, the fourth curse here, in the sixth of this section here, has to do with the animals, or the crops rather. So here, a fruit of the land. Cursed is the fruit of the land, and then cursed is the increase of thy kine and the flocks and thy sheep. So verse 4 here, for the blessing, is reversed for the cursing. All right, so that's verse 18. And then in verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So this probably has to do with travel. This relates to verse 6. Remember back in verse 6? Verse 6 says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So a blessing or cursing on the land, city and field, a blessing cursing upon travel within the land and so on. And so the Lord is going to reverse all these blessings. So we see these first six curses relate specifically to the blessings that we saw earlier there. All right, then next we have in verse 20 and following, so 16 through 19. So now we have 25 curses. 25 curses in this section here. So notice, picking up in verse 20, and so these curses become more intense and more specific and in greater detail. So verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. So they forsaken the Lord. So he's going to get their attention. So forsaking the Lord is the result of that will be the cursing here. He's the one who took them out of Egypt. He's the one who took them through the wilderness. He's the one who's setting up everything for them. How can they possibly forget him and forsake him? But we find out that's exactly what they did. They forsook them. So notice some of the generalizations here, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly. So notice the language there, because of the wickedness. He's going to deal with them. All right. By the way, this is going to be a national catastrophe. It's going to be a national catastrophe. It's going to affect people personally. It's also going to affect the nation nationally. It's going to be personal and national catastrophe that's going to fall on them as they forsake the Lord. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. So pestilence. A pestilence. Here's where we need somebody who's knowledgeable in pest. Come and take care of this. But the pestilence. Here's one of the pestilence passages. So pestilence is a warning that comes up quite often. So let's see, we can look here in Leviticus chapter 26. And earlier. So all this has been written before Deuteronomy 28. Verse 25, 26, 25. I will bring a sword upon you and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So they're going to have difficulty from within, difficulty from without. The pestilence is going to come upon them, and the Lord is going to deal with them. Pestilence would have to do with the animals, it seems, but may even affect them as well. Then verse 22, so first of all, we have the curse of vexation, that's verse 20. Curse of pestilence, verse 21. Now the curse of consumption, verse 22. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. So notice everything here. The consumption, this has to do with disease. We're going to have disease, inflammation, burning on them, and so on. And so, again, this is going to be a national pandemic. Look at that. It's going to be a national pandemic that the Lord is going to bring on them. Why? Because they have failed, they've forgotten, they've forsaken the Lord, His truth, and so on. So the Lord's going to affect them in all areas. Affect them physically, affect them their crops, affect them with enemies, and so on. A lot of repetition through all this, and so on. But here, when they forsake the Lord, He's going to bring this pandemic on them. The consumption here has to do with wasting away. They're going to have fever. Going to be all kinds of sickness and so on. later on, verse 27, he talks about the botch of Egypt, the botch or the boils of Egypt. And so the Egyptians here and all their diseases are going to be brought upon the Jews here. So we have this ongoing message here. Verse 23, and thy heaven that it is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. So this basically has to do with the drought and the crops not growing. And so he's going to affect the weather. So notice this, affect them physically with all types of diseases, affect their livestock, affect them relative to their enemies, affect the seasons, the weather, all of this is coming upon them. and it's going to be national. Now, I just wonder if we're experiencing an international pandemic judgment because the world has forsaken the Lord. You think of that? And so much of what's being stated here, we find out is going on in our country and around the world. All kinds of diseases going on. Of course, many of these diseases are passed on through immorality. And there's all types of immorality-type diseases that bring about all types of pain and all types of difficulties, to be sure. And so as they forsook the Lord, they went into idolatry and immorality. And there's consequences for immorality. Many types of physical diseases that attach to all of that. So no doubt that's in part what he's dealing with here. So we have this judgment upon the land. And certainly I think we could make some sort of application with our Judeo-Christian America. That's no longer Judeo-Christian. And we see these things showing up everywhere. And, of course, this is all attributed to Mother Nature or just bad medicine or not enough science in medicine or whatever it is. Attributed to anything and everything but forsaking the Lord. And so people can lie about this. They can blame whatever they want. But ultimately, it's the Lord who's created this world. He's created China, right? He's created Europe. He created the Western world. And the whole world is under the judgment of God. And destruction is coming. And eventually, when the Jews did this, they were taken into captivity. And they lost everything. And so that makes you wonder if the Lord's trying to get the world's attention here, that what's next on the agenda? I mean, things are getting worse. So science is not going to save the day. You know, vaccination is not going to save the day. So what's going on here? So it's hard not to make application here. It's hard not to do that. I think we would be blind, as it were, if we didn't say, see, rejecting a Judeo-Christian perspective is never healthy. That's always going to lead to judgment. So we can say that any time in human history. All right, well, anyway, we look further here. Drought in verse 24, there's the curse of dust. And the Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And so not only no rain, the land's going to get dusty and dry and not produce anything. So we have the curse of vexation, curse of pestilence, curse of consumption, curse of drought, curse of dust, curse of enemies, verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Where do we read that before? It sounds like verse 7. Seven ways in verse 7. Remember that? Verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee, thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. That's the blessing. They'll flee seven different ways. Come in one way, flee seven different ways. Now he's reversed it. Your enemies are going to come in. You're going to be dealt with appropriately the same way. And all right, so and flee seven ways out. All right, verse 25. All right, curse of enemies. Verse 26. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Affray is an old English word that means to frighten. It means to frighten. So now you have a definition for fray, so you don't have to give up your King James Bible because it has an archaic word in it. It means to frighten them away, all right? Did you write that down in your margin? Frighten. All right, and we get afraid. Afraid and fray sounds a lot alike. But anyway, here this is the curse of non-burial. Thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air. So non-burial here, left out in the ground on the earth when they're killed and so on. Nobody's going to bury them. The animals come and eat them. Of course, this is a judgment non-burial, and it's anti-gospel, right? Gospel of what? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He was buried. Non-burial is opposite of burial, obviously. All right, then we go on, verse 8. Verse 27, this is the eighth point. Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with emerods and with scab and with itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Hemorrhoids probably is what's involved here, and scabs on the skin and itches. It can't be healed. All right, this is the botch. The word behind botch, found 11 times in the Old Testament, is a word for boil, the botch of Egypt. So, Ryan wrote a good article on returning to Egypt and having your hand pierced by leaning on the rod of Egypt and having your hand pierced. So maybe it's you lean on Egypt, Israel, and you'll get the botch of Egypt. Think of that. And his point was he's likened Egypt to American fundamental Christianity. Dependent on a system. You get dependent upon that system and you'll end up with the botch. So, like, there's connections here. Stay away from Egypt. All right. By the way, that'll be coming out in the update, so you need to read it when it comes out. All right. For instance, let's look at the a verse on this, Isaiah 36. Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 6, 36:6 of Isaiah. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. So, trusting in Egypt, be like getting your hand pierced. So, we've got American fundamental Christianity trusted on the Pharaoh of the world and the system of the world and so on. And with the possibility of getting the hand pierced. You know, what in Mark 12:17, so we've talked about this before, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's, render under God what's God's. And but American fundamental Christianity is rendered unto Caesar what is God's. All right. And done that. Now, I'm stopping here for a moment, but it's all applicable. If you look there in Romans chapter 13. So this is the tack that a lot of people are taking right now. Romans 13. So Romans 13 is in the Bible. We know that. And Romans 13 says that. That every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now notice this says, be subject unto the higher powers, but the powers are nevertheless subject to God. And so ultimately, we're to be subject to God. And so some are saying, see, that's what we have to do. We have to obey the government on everything. No, there's never been an infallible government in human history. And there never will be. Never will be. So we obey the laws of land as long as they relate to Pharaoh's areas. But we obey the laws of God when they relate to God. And so quite often there's no conflict. No conflict of obeying the traffic laws or the health laws in general. No conflict in that, obeying God. When the Lord says that he wants his institution to meet with him, then Pharaoh has no role in that. But that's Pharaoh's ultimate target. We don't get lost in the whole big picture here. What's Satan's ultimate target? The Bible Baptist Church won't meet. This is the target.
Amen.
This is the target. So don't get lost in all this and everything else. And so, and for any other church in the world not to meet as well. It's a biblical church. So anyway, we find that the Lord is bringing judgment. He brings judgment on a land when it rejects the Judeo-Christian system of faith and Christianity in general and so on. And so he brings judgment. And so we see not only judgment back there on them, we see it also on us. Now, we work with CIA, context, interpretation. We got that. But we don't want to miss the application here. Is there an application here? Well, certainly. If you look around, you say, well, there's no curse on pestilence, consumption, drought, weather, enemies, non-burial, cremation, all kinds of sickness. I'm looking around. I can't find any of that anywhere. You must be blind. All right. So anyway, we're back here to madness. Verse 28. Verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. So all kinds of afflictions here. There's just so many medications out now for all the afflictions that are coming out. New medications to try to, treat the symptoms of all these things that are going on here. Think of that, madness, blindness, astonishment of heart. And then the next, verse 29, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So here's the curse of non-prosperity. All right, then next we have verse 30. curse on the family, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. So all types of immorality going on, infidelity. Everybody has to have an affair at work out in the secular world. Everybody in the secular world is having affairs, or just about everybody. I mean, other than Christians, but everybody has to have an affair. That's kind of like a notch in the belt. I've had 3 affairs so far, but, you know, narrowing things down, whatever. I mean, and then along with that's all types of wickedness that goes on. So it happens in the real world here. It happens around the world. All right, so loss of on the family, curse on the family. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Then we've got the curse on the loss of livestock in verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away, and before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. So the curse upon loss of livestock here. Then the curse upon the captivity of children. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in the land. Think of that, sons and daughters given to another. Right now it's called the secular school system. Really, all kinds of things are coming out. Parents have no right to try to indoctrinate their children now. It's the secular schools. And then the things that they're learning are so perverted in the secular schools. So it's an application. All right, it's an application of all this. But anyway, then verse 33, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given to another. Let's see, I read that. 33. Oh, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. Here, verse 33 then. Has to do with the enemy, curse of the enemy possession. Verse 34, and so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. So seeing things taken away and not being able to do anything about it, observing the loss. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs, and the sore botch and cannot be healed, and from the sole of the foot to the top of the head. Once again, botch comes up, boils, more boils here. Botch found twice in the passage. And curse on the body. 17, or excuse me, that's 17 point, verse 36. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. So here the king, back there in Deuteronomy 17, there's provisos for the king. He was to make his own scriptures and read them so he'd be right with the Lord his whole life and so on. But now we have the warning on the leader, the ruler, and so on. So unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. Application, that's China. All right, so anyway, I stay up with the news. all right, so the then verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. In other words, becoming a joke. Other nations laughing. Laugh at Israel. Laugh at Israel here. The curse of mockery. Jeremiah 19:8 uses the same word, referring to a hissing. Enemy hissing against the nation here and so on. And I think we wouldn't be hard-pressed to figure out our country is becoming a joke internationally. It really is. I mean, so this is so pertinent, I think. But it's true for any people at any time. Now, America is not the promised land. I'm not saying that. So on. But we go through this and we see all the judgments that are going on, and it's hard to miss and not make some application here. Verse 38, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in it, for the locust shall consume it. Hear the locust judgment here. Likewise in verse 42, locust judgment once again. Joel, the prophet Joel, referred to a great locust judgment that came on where the Lord judged them, book of Joel there. Verse 39, we've got worms. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but neither shall drink of the wine, nor of the grape that gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. So we got locusts, we got worms. Be major crop failure, verse 40. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. And verse 41, we have, once again, the captivity of the children there. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. So notice that's referred to twice. The botch is referred to twice. The locust is referred to twice. So there's a intensity of all this. Intensity of all this. Verse 43, the stranger that is without in thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. All right, so the social status is going to be reversed. Foreigners will be put in high positions, and the nationals there be put in low positions, become slaves, as it were. And then verse 44, thou shalt lend, or he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. That takes back to verse 13. That was the blessing. You'd be the head, and outsiders would be the tail. Now it's all reversed. It's all reversed. So here are the curses of the Lord upon people and upon a nation. Why? Well, he reminds them now in verse 45, because they didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Says this is going to come upon you because you didn't do this, as if it's a prophetic statement. Whereas back in verse 15, it's conditional. If you disobey me, these curses will come upon you. And so we see this section here that's put together here in chiastic type form. Two bookends. We got the material in between, a lot of material in between. So we got, I've organized around six curses and then 25. That's 31 curses. And you could go within verses where there's two or three that are handled, talk about the same basic subject, and count those independently. You come up with numerous curses. But the whole point of all this is, you have forsaken me in the past, but I'm making this so specific that you cannot miss my judging hand on you because you've forsaken me. Whereas in the blessing section, 14 verses. And blessings would be obvious as well. But once they began to judge them, all these blessings would be taken away and reversed in the opposite direction. So, Moses writing this down, the Lord is leading him to write this down. You're going into the promised land, so remember, who are you? You're chosen people. I've given you ideal piece of real estate. I'm going to allow you to run off all the enemies. It's going to be at harvest time. I'm setting you up with the best human law that can be set up. But it all has to do with having a right relationship with the Lord. So you've got it made. What could go wrong here? You just have to obey the Lord and you'll be tremendously blessed. But the thing that goes wrong here is the heart. It's not just one bad heart. It's the whole population whose heart goes bad. One bad heart, and you can perform capital punishment on one or two or three or whatever. But when the whole nation goes bad, then the Lord has to come in and remove them. And the Lord is good, but expects obedience, doesn't he? And he's serious about disobedience and dealing with disobedience. So Deuteronomy here, 28, this section, 27, 28, they were to put on this dramatic performance, you might say, between the two mountains and volley back and forth. Yes, amen, we'll do this. Amen, we'll do this. Amen to the blessings. Amen to the cursings. We understand it very clearly here. And so, see how good the Lord is to his people, and yet how evil his people are. And so they suffered consequences. So the... From Deuteronomy on, we see basically rebellion, disobedience. So it takes us really all the way through the rest of the Old Testament. You've got the prophets come along, and they try to challenge the people. And we have some people are responding from time to time, but basically it's all going downhill. And so we're wondering, wait a minute, this is the promised land, and just so much destruction. They're out of the land, everything else. How can the seed promise and the land promise ever get together and be fulfilled as the Lord wants? And it's only done because of the Lord's grace and mercy, and he's involved in this. So that's kind of the big picture of all the Old Testament. We just have to turn to some passage and find out, all right, who's involved here? And how are they disobeying? And what's the Lord doing? But he's gracious, you see. He's also gracious. Remember, he gave the Jews many, many years. And he's gracious to us as well. But at some point, when we're in persistent disobedience, then he steps in and he deals with people, deals with nations. All right, so there we are tonight. Why are we in chapter 28? Because last week, the week before, came after 27. That's why we're in chapter 28. But I think we can see a great deal of application here. And so what we can do and what we must do is take care of ourselves. Take care of ourselves. And trust the Lord for his grace. Our Father, we pray you bless us now. We thank you for the time we've had to be in this scripture. We thank you for giving us the revelation of your dealing with your chosen people. We pray you bless us now and help us to take heed to all of this and make the application to our lives, we pray, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen.